Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and today I have got a couple of guests on, three exactly, and we have lots of fun things to chat about. I'm going to be talking to Monique Dillard of Open Gate Quilts, and you will have been noticing that she's been doing a mystery block of the month for American Patchwork and Quilting magazine. So I hope you've been following that along. We're going to find out about it. Then I'm going to have on Camille Ross Kelly, who is the designer for Moda. She's a pattern developer, and I'm just really excited to have Camille on and talk to us about some things like photography, because if you've seen her blog, you know how amazing her photos are. And then the second half of the show, I have the fabulous Carrie Nelson, and she is with Miss Rosie's, and Carrie is so full of amazing information. She's going to give us some tips. We're going to talk some all kinds of things about inspiration and a little bit of piecing knowledge. I'm going to have some stuff I'm going to ask her there. So let's get going here. Monique Dillard of Open Gate Quilts. She creates fabric and she writes books, and she's developed fabulous rulers, plus our amazing mystery quilt for the year. So hi, Monique. How are you?
Good. How are you, Pat?
I am wonderful. I'm really excited to have you come on here and talk about the mystery block of the month for American Patchwork and Quilting. How did that come about?
Well, I was talking to the editors of the magazine. I was talking to Elizabeth, and she mentioned, because I have another block of the month going on through with Maywood Studio with my fabric line, and we had talked about block of the months, and she just mentioned, would I be interested? And I said, yes, I would. I'd love to do that. So they came up with the concept of doing the block of the month and then coming up with different projects each month to see how else you can use those blocks. So in the back of the magazine, it's called The Start Today, Finish Tomorrow. If you look at the back, it started in January. And there's a whole bunch of different projects that you can do each month. And then you can see how the block looks. And in the end, you'll get the big reveal.
So adorable. Do you think you can describe that one? Okay, so while we're waiting for Monique to just jump back in here, I'm going to tell you about the sewing machine cover. What she's doing with the block of the month is each block is shown in the back, and then it's got like a 9-inch square. So for the sewing machine cover, she's put the block in the center and then has a lot of strippy pieces along the side. So, Monique, do you like doing these special projects?
I actually like it a lot. It really kind of pushes me out of my box because I'm a very traditional quilter. I love the traditional colors, reds and creams and blues, and it gives me a chance to start using some different fabrics that I not normally would use in doing different projects that I have to actually figure out what I'm doing as I go along. So it's been a lot of fun.
So you also have a quilt in the June 2012 issue, which is separate from the block of the month, mm-hmm. and that is just a gorgeous, gorgeous piece. Can you tell us about it?
I designed this quilt. One of the things that I love about doing quilts is the secondary designs that I get when I put the quilts together. So when I was designing this quilt, one of the things that really popped out was when I put the blocks together, I get that secondary star effect. And then what I did was I took that star and put it in the corners. And this quilt is actually made out of my second fabric line, Memories of Provence, which is also through Maywood Studio. And I just loved the colors, the red, white, and blue, or cream, red and blue kind of thing. I just thought it was real pretty.
It is. It's absolutely, and the border fabric is just gorgeous, Monique.
Thank you.
Now, you have a tip about squaring up. Since we're talking about blocks and the mystery is a block, you know, what kind of tips do you have for squaring up these blocks?
Well, one thing that I always do when I'm working on a quilt is I make sure that I square up each piece of my blocks in my blocks before I put it together. And I do this, and this is how my rulers came about, is I have six different rulers, and the whole idea is to oversize the pieces and trim them down using the rulers. And so for the this particular quilt, there's quarter square triangles in there, and so when I put it together, I did use my Fit-to-Be quarter ruler, which trims down quarter square triangles. So it really makes your pieces come together. If they're all the right size when you put your block together, then you don't have to worry about squaring your block up in the end because it's all the same, should be all the right size.
I really like that part. I really like oversizing because I just find it's more accurate. Do you find your students get really hooked on this technique?
Absolutely. You know, some of them will grumble at first because it is a little more work, but I look at it too as, you're making this quilt to enjoy it, and if it's not coming together the way it should be, it's so frustrating. So once they start getting the hang of the rulers and they start squaring things up, no, they don't usually go back. They love the way it looks and ends up coming. And I just tell them, just sit in front of the TV and trim. I do that. What the heck, you know? It's kind of using your hands while you're doing something else, so...
You're right, because trimming is actually very portable, because if your blocks are not huge, you can take one of those little lap things, couldn't you?
Right.
Just do it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if you're at, you know, a baseball game with the kids or something, you can just take them and trim a little bit while you're watching. So it's very portable. You know, I actually always do it in front of the TV or something, and just makes it so much quicker.
And so you travel and teach a lot, right?
I do. One of the two things I love is quilting and teaching, and of course now traveling too. But I do. I will go anywhere if somebody wants me to come teach. I'm there. Just ask me.
Yeah, and on your website you have all the information at opengatequilts.com. So
yes,
people can go there and find out where you're already scheduled and see what you offer.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that you know, I really like is your books, because you have some books with using fat quarters. And,
yes,
you know, people collect fat quarters like crazy, mm-hmm, because it's like little bits of candy. You can just, you know, they're not as expensive, and
right,
we can have a lot of them. So you started doing, you've done several books on fat quarters.
Correct. I'm actually, my second book was just published this spring. The first book was called Fat Quarter Winners, and the whole idea of the book was to use fat quarters. And then what I did was I combined my love of playing cards and named a lot of the, or all of them, after card games.
Oh, did you really? Oh, that's
yes,
so fun.
So it's kind
I didn't
of fun.
Know that
I'll,
part.
I'll look at the quilts and I'll go, oh, yeah, I remember playing Rummy with, you know, my husband, or this kind of thing. So it's kind of brings the two combination together.
That's so clever, Monique.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. And then the second book is called Traditional Fat Quarter Quilts. And this one, same idea. It does have the theme of the cards. And with the second one, what I did instead is I used one main background plus fat quarters, where the first one I used all scrappy fat quarters, so everything is a fat quarter. And I thought it would be kind of fun to do a little twist on the fat quarter quilts and add that main background, because sometimes when you have all these darks, it's hard to collect enough lights to be able to make that quilt. So I thought one background would be kind of fun, and it gives a little bit easier to pick and also a little bit of cohesiveness to the quilts.
So tell me a little bit about the fat quarter, working with them, fat quarter packs, because people's lines, you know, it all depends, the designer and the manufacturer, how the line is put together. And sometimes the colors are all over the place, and it might be a larger line. How do you deal with that? Do you extract some of the colors so it's not so crazy?
I do. What I go a lot by eye, and most of the time what I'll do is I'll pick a main print that I really like, and then I'll choose the fabrics from there. Because normally in a line, if you have 45, 50 pieces, they're not all going to go together. But they will have several that will go together. So if you pick your main print, then you can, so if it has the red and the blue and whatever other colors, you can pick the reds and the blues that are in that line, and then it'll all come together that way. So that's kind of how I choose when I choose my fat quarters.
That makes a lot of sense because, you know, a lot of times there'll be like almost like two separate colorways in a collection. Don't you find that?
Yes, definitely. And being that I just started designing fabric, I can understand, too, why you want that, too, because then not everybody wants, you know, a black and a red quilt. Maybe they want to add a green in there or have a different color in there. So it's kind of nice to have a variety in your fat quarter bundle so that you don't have to do exactly what everybody else is doing. So I can understand. And they do that quite a bit. You're right.
Perfect. So what is your next collection going to look like? And what's this called, the one that'll be coming out a little later this year?
It's coming out in September, and it's called Royal Gardens. I don't know if you know anything about my other lines, but I use my first two lines have mainly black and red and cream and some green in it. The second line we brought blue in, and now the third line we are taking the blue away and adding purple in. So that's where the royal comes in. I'm really excited about it. It's got some great large florals, a wonderful border print. It's really exciting. I can't wait for it to come out.
So let's go back to the mystery quilt here really quick before we are done with the segment. And tell me, is there like a tip that you can give people on building these mystery blocks?
My tip, if you haven't started, I would go ahead and gather, you know, 8 to 10 of two different colors, like if you're going to do it in black and red or red and blue, whatever you decide, and then some main backgrounds. And I use fat quarters, which, of course, you know, I love fat quarters. So I went ahead and picked those, and each month did my block and then pulled from those fat quarters. So then in the end, you're going to have a cohesive quilt that's all going to be the same instead of trying to pick, you know, all different fabrics. I always try at the beginning to get my fabrics together and go from there.
So how many blocks will there be?
There's a total of 8. There's 6 that will be in the magazine, and then 2 will be online.
Fabulous, Monique. This has been absolutely wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Pat. It's great talking to you.
Please go out and visit Monique Diller of Open Gate Quilts at her website, opengatequilts.com, and you can click from there over to her blog and her teaching. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We'll take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Join Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit allpeoplequilt.com and click on Tool School. Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is! Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anila Hoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Enter the Ulfa Refresher Tools Sweepstakes to win essential quilting tools and start your next project fresh. The prize is worth over $200 and includes a rotating rotary mat, 6x24 ruler, circle cutter, rotary cutter, and precision scissors. Go to facebook.com/APQ magazine and click on Ulfa Refresher Tools Sweepstakes to enter. Hurry! The sweepstakes end June 30th. Our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Moda fabric designer Camille Ross Kelly has an amazing eye for color, and her quilts are very well balanced, and her for her pattern company, Thimble Blossoms. I just think that they're just wonderful, wonderful designs and layouts. She is also half of the Quilts & More Scrap Lab team that we had going on here at the magazine. So I'm really excited to have Camille come on and tell us a little bit about her fabric and her patterns and what's going on in life. So hi, Camille. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
I am just great. You know, for you, Camille, I have a question. How did you start with fabric, or did you start with the pattern lines? I've forgotten.
I started with patterns. I actually started my company in May of, I think, 2007. And we were contacted by Moda about 8 months later, my mom and I, to design together. So I started, and I had about 10 patterns by the time we started designing fabric. And then I did have that fabric at my first quilt market the next spring.
Ah, how cool is that? So your mom is Bonnie of Cotton Way. So she's been...
Yes. Hi, Mom. I know she's listening.
I know. We tried to get her on the show, didn't we? And she was like...
Yes, we tried.
Yeah. We'll have to work on that. So lately, your fabric lines, what I just find is so beautiful and refreshing about them. Plus, I think people are just crazy about your aqua and red colorways that you've done recently. What is... inspires you to work with those particular colors?
You know, when we bought our first home, that would have been about 4 years ago, when I finally got to put paint on the walls and just, you know, we'd always had rentals before that, so I'd never got to pick out paint colors. I was really drawn to the aqua colors. So when, you know, I painted everything aqua, red just seemed to go with it really well. And so I kind of started doing that. And then my mom started putting some in her house too. And then pretty soon my whole house was red and aqua. And the red has kind of stayed in my, I have a guest room and I have my sewing room, which is red and aqua as well. But then the rest of my house, because we've moved since then, is kind of aqua and gray and green. It has some of the same colors, a little bit of red, but not as much. It's just, there's something about that combination that I just absolutely love. So it keeps finding its way into the fabric lines, and I think it will for a while.
I believe it's a really a classic look that
it's kind
very
of a
fresh.
Retro look.
Yeah, retro, and it's just it has a large appeal. Are you sort of surprised sometimes how many different types of quilters will be drawn to that?
Yeah, I think that it does appeal to, I mean, my mom and I, we, you know, obviously are different generations, and I think that her generation loves it and my generation loves it, and there aren't that many things that cross over, you know, as widespread as that does.
So when you're designing since the two of you design together, do you like have little meetings, you know, do you live close by to each other?
We don't. I actually live in Nevada, and my mom lives in Idaho, and it's funny you'd ask that. I actually took her to the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning yesterday.
Oh,
she
no.
was in town, and we designed some fabric this weekend. We kind of wrapped up a lot.
We just lost Camille for a second. So let me just tell you, until we get her back. Oh, you're back. Okay.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. All right. We had a little blip.
I didn't know I lost you.
So tell me about the scrap lab that you did with Camille, with Joanna Figueroa Fig Tree.
We are doing a project called Scrap Lab. We're actually still doing it. We're in our second year now. And how it works, we have an allotted amount of fabric, and it's sent to each of us, and then we have a guest each time. And they're all different styles of fabric, different amounts of fabric. It might be, you know, like 6 fat quarters or a charm pack or half a jelly roll, just something that people would have in their stash and have readily available to them. So we are sent that fabric, and we have to make something from only that fabric. And sometimes it's, you know, my fabric, sometimes it's Joanna's, and then everything in between. We've done all different kinds, and it is a lot of fun and a little bit challenging at the same time. So we've really been enjoying it.
Can you think of one of the challenges you had? Like, did you get a bunch of fabric and you just didn't know what to do with it?
There was one. I won't tell you which one because I don't. If this designer heard, I know that was really outside of the box for me, and it used some colors that I wouldn't normally have used, and I was a little nervous about figuring out a way to make it all work together. But I mean, I did. I worked on it. I am so happy with the way things turned out, and that should be published soon. I'm not sure when, but soon. And that was a lot of fun.
Well, people can go to allpeoplequilt.com. You can just put Scrap Lab up into the search, and you can find one of the projects was a pumpkin table runner. So that is out on the website. And we also have one of your quilts online called It Takes Two, done in an alternate colorway, Camille. Can you tell us a little bit about that pattern?
That was one, again, that my mom and I did together. We each did one of the quilts in that feature. I did one out of just the red, aqua, and gray in that line, and that was our Bliss line. And then she did one out of the whole line, so they kind of look different. Mine had a little bit larger, more graphic block, and hers was a little bit more traditional, which is kind of how we like to do things, so it worked out.
And that's a Dutchman's Puzzle, the actual, like, the traditional name of the block. And
right.
Did you do the traditional flying geese?
I did do flying geese instead of the half-square triangles. I love making flying geese, so that was a lot of fun for me. That one is actually hanging up in my bedroom right now, so I get to look at it every day.
Ah, you really do like it if you have it in your bedroom.
I really do.
Yeah. So you have a little tip that you do for piecing that we were talking about. So can you give me that tip?
I do. I actually use frog tape, which is essentially painter's tape. It's just green, and it for some reason it just adheres a little bit better, and I haven't had any trouble with it taking any paint off or anything like that. So I use the green frog tape, and I just put a little piece of tape coming straight down from the center of the needle, or I measure over a quarter inch if I'm doing half-square triangles, and then it just goes down the front on my sewing machine table so I don't have to draw lines on my snowballs and half-square triangles. I kind of have a longer sewing table, and it just goes straight forward. So no more lines. I just have my tape and follow that.
And off you go. That's great. I think it's something I might actually try because it's always good to have that extra visual further out, don't you find?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Cool. So let's talk about photography, because I asked you if you would think of a few things to tell me about how to take really nice pictures of your quilts, because you're a very good photographer. Is it your hobby, or do you do that also professionally?
Oh, thank you so much. I don't know what I'm doing. It's all trial and error for me. I got a camera and, you know, figured out how to work it one mistake at a time. So that's how I've kind of come to do that. And I have photographed several of Moda's ads, and I photographed my first book, and I'm just in the process of photographing my second. So I have done some here and there, but mostly it's just for fun, for my blog and pictures of my kids and stuff.
Now,
so
you have some tips. You have like some beautiful close-ups. I mean, your quilt's outside. Is there a way like the average person can sort of bump up the quality of their photos?
Absolutely, yes. A few things that you can do are find some good light. So what you want to do is get right up, set a table maybe in front of a window so that the light is shining not directly in the window, but so it has sunlight coming through, and lay your quilt down there. And take it with your shoulder, one of your shoulders, facing the window. You can get some really nice lighting that way, and just try to remove all the clutter in the background. I think that's a really important thing when you're doing photos, to just be aware of what is in the frame. So you want to take out any, you know, Dr. Pepper cans or, you know, whatever is in the background of your photos before you go ahead and take the photo.
That's such a good advice. You know, take the refrigerator magnets off the refrigerator if it's going to be, you know, in the background.
Right.
And, you know, the dirty dishes off the counter.
I found that rather than removing those dirty dishes off the counter, sometimes I'll just put a fake backdrop in there, like a piece of beadboard or something that's straight and stiff that can stand up, and it acts as a wall behind it. So it can, you know, really draw attention to what you're taking a photo of.
Now, you do a lot of really nice close-ups. Now, you have, what type of camera are you using?
I actually have a D7000 that I'm using right now, and I have a 50-millimeter lens, a 50-millimeter 1.8, and that is something that I would recommend to anyone that is getting started with an SLR. You just have to turn it to aperture when you get started, turn it to the A mode, and put a 50-millimeter lens on, and you will get great photos right off the bat. That's my favorite combination right there. I use Nikon, though, so... Mm-hmm. The Canon people might not appreciate that advice.
Well, it's great to have the right tool to do the job.
Just absolutely. Like.
Now, you
makes all the difference.
You mentioned your family. You quilt and run a business with three little boys underfoot. Do you have a tip for people who want more time to sew and have little children?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, sometimes it works out really, it kind of blends together really well, and on other days it doesn't so much. I try to make the most of my time when I have some quiet time, some free time. I have an 18-month-old and a 6-year-old, almost 7, and an 8-year-old. So especially in the summer, it gets really busy over here. But I actually stay up really late, and that helps. And sometimes I, you know, during nap time, I just work as fast as I can. And I also have a really wonderful husband, so he helps out a lot in that respect. He's great. Great to take them out to do something fun, to go, you know, to a movie or something, so that I can get some work done, which I appreciate.
Yeah, it's always good to have help, even if, you know, like if a spouse is not around, just to ask a friend, isn't it? Sometimes just to have some time.
Yes, and I just moved into a neighborhood that I absolutely love, and I have a lot of really great friends here, and they're just a phone call away. You know, they're just down the street, and we help each other out, so that helps as well.
Well, Camille, this has been just wonderful to have you on and talk about your projects. I love them all so much.
Oh, thank you. That's nice of you.
Well, I want everybody to go out and visit Camille Roskelly at thimbleblossoms.com. That's her website. And from there, you can go to her blog, see her patterns, and check everything out. So thank you, Camille.
Thank you, Pat. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs and Baby's Going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Wasn't it fun to listen to the photography tips from Camille Roskelly of Thimble Blossoms? Camille's photography is amazing, so you must go out and check out her blog where she shares lots and lots of photos. So if you have been a quilter more than 5 minutes, you've probably made at least one of designer Carrie Nelson's super amazing quilt designs. Maybe you made two, maybe you made 20. I mean, Miss Rosie's Quilt Company is her pattern and book company, and she is just got it going with the layout and the colors, and just connects to more people than anybody I know with her work. She's a frequent contributor to American Patchwork and Quilting's family of magazines, and she's going to be here on right now. Right now, here's Carrie. She's going to give us a whole bunch of info this second half of the show. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Pat. Of course, I'm listening to that and thinking, she must be talking about a different Carrie.
silly girl. No. So do you have any idea how many quilts you've designed? You know, are you like really organized and know that, or are you sort of clueless like me? I mean, I know it's hundreds, but I don't know how many.
I'm somewhere in the middle. I have an idea, but no, I couldn't tell you exactly, in part because if I did it a small quilt and then we adapted it for a big quilt, or I did a second version, I only count that as one. So it's, you know, I kind of have an idea. It's probably about, you know, 170, 180, somewhere in that range. But, you know, there's a lot.
There's a lot. Yeah, your website is Miss Rosie's Quilt Co., all one word, .com, mm-hmm. Miss Rosie's Quilt Co. So people can go there and they can get to all of your things and see all your designs. So I really wanted to talk first about the process that you go through when you're designing. I mean, has it changed since when you first started your business?
A little bit, in the sense that I think I'm a little bit more confident with what I do now. But I still go back and forth of, sometimes I see a fabric and how do I see that, whether it's a single fabric that I want to build around, a collection fabric that I want to work into something. Sometimes it's very much the sense of, how do I see that fabric working well within a design? And others know I'm a block in search of a fabric and or a color palette. There, you know, with some of the wonderful, big, bright, splashy prints that we have now, it's, if you put a whole bunch of those together without anything to break it up, it all kind of mooshes together. So there are things now where you say, how can I use this fabric that
sort of, you know, figuring out what goes where, you know, for those big prints, it does get a little crazy. Monique said that earlier, like with the fat quarter bundles, mm-hmm. that she is doing those projects now to put in sort of a calming fabric, I mm-hmm. guess you'd call it. So let's see. I want to walk through this because we want to know what goes on in Carrie's head, you know. So
that's not good.
Scary. Do you find more often you've got the fabric first, or is it really a mix?
It really is a mix. It's like so many quilters, I'm influenced and inspired by and dazzled by new fabrics, and I want that. Now what can I make? There are things that come through. For example, right now I'm playing around with those little mini charm packs.
Oh, and the little tiny ones?
The little tiny ones. And so that's something where, okay, I've got this collection. How do I see this in the design? And obviously you've got some limitations. I'm not making 5-inch squares, using 2.5-inch squares. I know how to weave, but I can't glue fabric together. So that's a case of, here is the fabric. Now, how is this going to work in a design? And there are some of the fabrics that will work, some of the little collections. I just did something with Kate Spain's Cusco where there are some things, if I made little four patches using those fabrics, they're just going to moosh together. But other collections, no, it's perfect for it. So That's a case of it's very much the fabric that's dictating which design gets made into which fabric.
Ah, so that's important, because when people have their own fabric, don't you think, you know, they can go through that same thought process looking at their collection and what they're thinking of putting it into?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing, I know we're like having fabric on hand and where I'll use my stash is things where you have a lot of little pieces that are going to be like small half square triangles or four patches that you want to create a design, whether it's a chain or some other effect, that's where it's great to have tiny little prints, tone on tones, those things that are going to stand out a little bit more, because you can have a small piece, but you're still getting a real strong color, whereas if you use like a really big floral for that, that same thing, well, this square may be green, that one's white, the next one is blue, and the next one is pink, just because of the way the flower's been cut up.
Oh, that's so, really important, because the, those big prints, when you cut them up small, it totally changes the look.
Oh, it does. And sometimes I, what I like is sometimes some of those prints, you do want to use those even in your little small pieces, because it takes the edge off, in that if you mix them with some of your tone on tones, you have this strong line, but it suddenly, by mixing in things that are what I'll only call mushier, it kind of softens it, that it's, when you stand back, you see the chain, but it's not like, wow, look at that red chain on that quilt. Does that make sense? Of it's, you kind of, it's mixing it in, and all of it comes back to personal preference. I mean, and sometimes the quilt that you're making with the fabric, sometimes, you know, you want that to stand out, and other times, not so much.
Now, you actually collect fabric, don't you? Don't you collect some fabric?
I'm a quilter, Pat. Of course I collect fabric.
Just checking. Are you using, I know you do some projects with a collection, you know, primarily, but then are you still doing projects that are sort of, you know, bringing in older fabrics and all different, you know, designers' fabrics in one quilt?
I do, and there are things where I'll take a collection and I'll add pieces to it. Something where you think, I really like this and I want to change the tone. And some of what my taste is changing a little bit in that, and I don't mean I don't like what I did, but, you know, been there, done that. So now we're getting so much more amazing variety in the fabrics, that everything from some of the cotton linen blends to like the shot cottons you and I had chatted about, and things like that, where you can work them into other projects with different fabrics for a different feel. And there's so many now where there are smaller groups that you do need to be able to mix them up. And we all have things left over from other projects that you think, well, that'll go with this.
Yeah. So what is a shot cotton? We were talking about that.
A shot cotton, they're also called crossweaves. Moda does some wonderful crossweaves. It is a fabric where the lengthwise and crosswise threads are different colors. Blue and white, blue and green, red and yellow, black and tan. There are jillions of combinations. And what happens is, from a distance, it looks like a solid color, a solid fabric. When you get closer, it has a little bit more texture to it, a little more depth. And you can even wind up that some have an almost iridescent quality because of the way the light hits it, that this way it looks a little more purple, this way it looks a little more red, and they're just, it's an added dimension, and it just has a different look to it. It mixes beautifully with all sorts of kinds of fabric. You can use it as a solid background for something, or mixed in with other things. It's really beautiful fabric.
So that means we need to start collecting this, right, Carrie? So we have it on hand.
Well, Sure.
Of course. Is it a little bit like linen as far as you can see the weave? That's what I'm thinking.
Yes. You can see it a little bit more. Same thing. Some colors you'll see it very dramatically, and other, depending on what two colors they've mixed. I have one piece that it's actually a Moda cross weave, and it was blue and white, and it almost has a faded chambray shirt look to it. And so things like that, yes, it just, you know, has a... It's cool. It doesn't quite have, the thread is a little bit finer, so you don't get quite the look you do with like a nice linen, but you do see the texture a little bit more. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. I like that part. So mm-hmm. when you go shopping, you know, like in a real store maybe,
uh-huh.
is it, because I know that's hard sometimes, particularly, you know, we all have busy lives and, you know, we might, you know, get things, you know, other ways, and designers get stuff sent to us. So, but if you're going into a store, would you have like a plan, you know, or do you just let things talk to you? Or are you like looking for it to fill something?
I hate to give you the answer, both. There are times go in and yes, I'm looking for something specific, but I also have to confess that I'm Madison Avenue's dream. I am the worst impulse shopper ever. And so, you know, I can't walk by a pretty display of something new and not go, ooh, I need some of that. So it's sometimes you get that inspiration if you see something and it just sparks your imagination and you're off and running of, you know, fat quarters of that or, you know, pre-cut or something like that. And then there are things that come in and you go, you know, that goes really well with something I've got at home. And so maybe you get a half yard or a yard, depending on what you think you're going to do with it. But so, yeah, sometimes I have a plan and sometimes, no, I'm just going, I'm a girl in search of trouble.
There you go. Yes, I agree with you. I think it just depends, you know, what's happening. And you've been collecting some dots, right?
I've been collecting some dots. I got the Michael Miller to dots. And, you know, you and I talked about Pinterest, and there was a case of I saw this picture of somebody had a bundle of the to dots. I went, oh, I think I need that.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes.
Went investigating, click, follow the links.
And there it goes, into the cart.
I thought about it for a day.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a little break, Carrie. And when we come back, we're going to talk about inspiration and a little technique.
Okay.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin, Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
When quilting supplies worth over $1,200. Enter the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge sweepstakes for your chance to win tons of fabric, books, tools, and more. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases to enter.
Mm-hmm. Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am chatting with Carrie Nelson of Miss Rosie's Quilt Company. So, Carrie, you have a little tip about piecing that I'm really interested in. You call it popping the seam. Tell me what this is about.
What it is, it comes from hand piecers way back when, and it is it lets you open up the seam on the back that is like for a four patch. If you've got, you technically have four little seams back there, it lets you have them going around in clockwise or counterclockwise direction. And the biggest thing this technique does is it lets you sew block to block to block and have your seams abut. Because anytime you can get things to nest in nicely, you get better seam junctions, things press flatter. If it presses flatter, it lays better. You can do better quilting on it, more quilting, and things tend to be a little bit more flat and square. And it's just a case of removing a couple of stitches that lets you undo a seam. If we were hand piecers, we would stitch up to that point and then not stitch any further and let it stay open.
You know, that makes sense to me now because I did learn to quilt by hand piecing. Uh-huh. And for people who've never hand pieced and didn't learn that way, I was thinking, you know, oh, why, you know, why would you do this? But you have on your website a little blog post about it. So that was really nice to see. So it doesn't come undone?
It doesn't come undone. I confess, when I first started doing it, when I first learned about it, probably, oh gosh, 12, 14 years ago from, I think it was an Eleanor Burns book, and I would backstitch over that junction because I thought these threads are going to come out. I just know they are. Mm-hmm. Things get quilted into place. Our thread is better. Our fabric's better with machines. We use smaller stitches. I have never ever had one come apart. And you know, from the quilts that I use on the bed regularly, that they get washed regularly, I've never had something come apart. And yes, I'm knocking wood as I speak. But I haven't had one come apart. And yeah, if anybody is concerned about that, the two things I would recommend: get your stitch a little bit smaller, and I prefer to kind of just remove the stitches as opposed to using the seam ripper to actually cut them. I just kind of pull that little thread or use your fingers, and I've just never had one come apart. I really haven't. Of the 180
quilts. I'm going to try it because out of your 200 quilts you've done and washed and used, great thing.
Well, probably more than half of them have used this technique in one spot or another because it can just be used for so many things. And so it's one of those little things that it can make your life easier. And that's a good thing, right?
Yes. We always want to have our lives made easier. Let's talk about a little inspiration because you travel and teach, and I travel and teach, and when we're out mm-hmm. and about, we get to see a lot of different things, which end up coming home with us and getting incorporated into our work. For you, you've done some amazing trips. Can you talk a little bit about your trip to France, which was not a teaching trip, it was a personal trip, and what inspired you when you from that trip?
It was kind of indirect in the sense that any kind of trip, anything, it's about that exploration and adventure and trying something new, going new places, trying new foods, and just seeing things differently. And I kind of my thought process as I was thinking about shopping, and oh yes, I did go shopping for fabric, and that was great fun.
Yeah.
But it was very much that sense of asking myself if I had gotten to, was I still experimenting as much as I had when I first started quilting, when I first started doing patterns. And even though I'm more confident with the choices I make in quilting, there's still sometimes you start thinking, am I doing this because it's good for business, or because this is really, I'm trying something new, trying something different? And so that's probably where the inspiration was the most, and that idea of really what I liked doing, and, you know, kind of getting back to a cleaner color palette that I sewed with when I first started quilting, and, you know, lighter and not doing so much of what I thought I should be doing, so much as following the mood. You won't see any fleur-de-lis on anything anytime soon.
Yeah, sorry for over-talking there. I was going to say, when you were there, did your sort of brain become, you know, in a different place so that you were more relaxed because you were away?
Very much so. Just because you get in such a go with the flow and what do you feel like doing. And yes, there were things that I had somewhat scheduled of, okay, today we're going to this museum. But it was, again, just being inspired by what you saw. And yes, the light is different and the energy is different. London was different than Paris. Paris was different than the south of France. And just kind of that, yes, a peace and just a free-flowing. And yeah, I had a notebook and I made some notes and things that color ideas. And with all the flowers that I saw everywhere, that same profusion of color, and you're thinking, I've gotten away from that. And so that's probably really where the inspiration came from.
That is so interesting, because I can really connect to that, Carrie, because I don't go and like draw something and then come home and put it in a quilt or use the color palette. It's more like you're just absorbing and letting your brain relax and get in. Then when you come back, you think different.
And that's exactly what it was. Perfectly stated, Pat, because it was. It was more that recharged, refreshed, and kind of, you know, slightly altered perspective. So it was really nice.
Don't you think quilters could do this? Just anybody can do this. If you're sort of stuck, just get out and go see something different. You know, you don't have to go to France, you know. To do it, you can go to a local museum or the zoo or a garden.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's that whole recharge of being excited about what you're doing, that when you feel you have a project you have to finish or that you're not enjoying it, it's absolutely take a break and go do something completely different. Whether it's, as you said, go to the museum, get in your car and go to the national park, go to the farmer's market. Because you just see something different. And especially, I mean, I love, we've finally gotten a nice farmer's market here. There's such a tactile quality to go. I mean, you go, and I'm sorry, I don't love broccoli, but boy, when you see fresh, great stuff like that, you got to pick it up. And fabric and doing anything with stitching, that's what it is. It's in your hands. You're touching it. You're feeling it. And it's just something nice. So,
yeah, I think that there's occasions where, you know, it's really beneficial to go into a store, you know, a fabric store and look at the colors. But then I think there's a lot of times when it's best to just give your brain something different to focus on. I just love that. I see we're so much alike, Carrie.
Absolutely. Well, then you know what? I think we need to go to France so we can be inspired again.
That's good. Yeah, we could go to other countries too. We could just go touring. That would be part of our job description. You know, require touring.
Well, that's it. It's you think the some of the Australian quilters. I mean, what they're doing. It's amazing and inspiring, and I want to go shop in Australia.
Yeah, that would be good. It would be really good. So you have some quilts on American Patchwork and Quilting's website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Uh-huh.
One of them is called the Star Party, and I believe it's a different colorway than yours. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
It's the one that I had done called Pick and Choose, and it is that popping the seam technique. They're going to want that for this quilt. It is one where I wanted to use a lot of what I had was some reproductions to use. And it's a good scrap quilt for any color palette because you can, I'm trying to think the best way to say this. For the sashing is to me what really makes it because it lets you use a lot of different color in a big color range, if that's your choice. If you've got big prints, they're great for the big half-square triangles. I think they finish at 3 inches. But you can also use some of your smaller prints if you want to get a chain effect that is very strong. That's good because there are the 4 patches in there. It is a great use up your scraps. If you've got a softer color palette, single background, multiple backgrounds, I love mixing backgrounds. But it's one where, because of the sashing, you're using 1.5-inch strips. I purposely cut them into shorter lengths because that let me use a gold next to a black next to a red and not see this big, long strip. It kind of, by dispersing it through the quilt, that's what creates some balance. And to me, that's a lot of what scrap quilting in any quilt is. It doesn't have to be any one thing so long.
Using things up and and you could make it bigger. I mean, it's done as 4 blocks, I believe.
It is, and it's one, there are a couple little things that you'd have to tweak for the border if you want to do the pieced border, but easily done, and it's usually just as simple as your inner border wider or narrow. But, yeah, it's a great way of using up your scrap basket, and don't we all have one of those?
Yes. Thank you, Carrie. This has been absolutely wonderful to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure, and especially because I got to be on a day with 2 wonderful other ladies. Chris, you know I know both Monique and Camille.
I know you do. Everybody needs to go and visit Carrie at Miss Rosie's quiltco.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next Monday for an all-new show.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.